Ohio lawmakers slashed funding in the state budget for a program called H2 Ohio that launched in 2019 to improve water quality throughout the state. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about what those funding cuts could mean for the future of wetlands restoration, agriculture, and water quality are Ohio Environmental Council Action Fund Managing Director of Water Policy, Doug Babcock, and the Nature Conservancy Ohio Agriculture Project Director, Jessica D'Ambrosio. Thank you so much for being here, Doug and Jessica.
Thank you for the invitation. I'm excited to be here today.
Thank you.
Doug, before we get into the specifics of these budget cuts, let's talk about what H2 Ohio has been doing. Why was this program started in 2019?
Well, you know, it really started with the governor. I don't want to speak for him, but after the big algal bloom in 2014, we realized something had to be done. And the governor really, to the envy of a lot of other states, set up this program. And so we're doing, you know, interesting and innovative data-driven agricultural programs to reduce runoff. And then, of course, some drinking water things like the lead pipe, getting rid of lead service lines to help the more than 650,000 homes in Ohio that has it. And then some other, you know, really science-based long-term projects that wouldn't get done otherwise.
Jessica, what are some of the ways H2 Ohio has been improving water quality when it comes to agricultural practices?
Well, H2 Ohio has worked with the county soil and water conservation districts and established a program that used some science-based assessment to identify the practices that agriculture producers could implement on an agricultural field that were the best at reducing phosphorus runoff to our waterways. And so they developed a list of top 10 practices to encourage producers to adopt them, and then provided a series of funding opportunities or incentives to help producers make the decision and enroll in those programs and adopt them on their farm fields. And to date, since the program started, the H2 Ohio program has enrolled over 3,000 farmers and agricultural producers that have implemented one or more of these practices. And that represents about 2.1 million acres across our state that is now implementing practices or sustaining practices that will help address phosphorus loss and sediment loss and help improve our water quality.
And Jessica, what are some of those practices? Can you tell us about a few of them?
Sure. Some of them, there's a whole group of them that relate to what we call nutrient management, and that is making sure that we put the right manure or fertilizers to feed a growing crop on the ground in the right place at the right time and in the right amount. So we only apply what we need and when we need it and where we need it. There are a series of practices that help improve soil health and help farmers adapt to changing weather conditions such as extreme drought and flooding. And those practices would include crop rotations, implementing cover crops, so practices that would enable farmers to have a living root in the ground all year round, keep soil on the farm field, and cover that soil so we don't have bare soil during the times of the year when the crops aren't growing. And then there are another series of practices that we can kind of collectively think of as water management practices or water filter practices. And those are typically placed at the edge of farm fields, and that can include anything from controlled drainage structures to conservation ditches. So retrofitting streamways and ditches so they function more like natural streams in our working landscapes, but also provide drainage. So there's a whole suite of practices, as you can see, even though the H2 Ohio program just has 10 that they list, but there's a whole suite of options that producers can choose from.
Jessica, can you tell us more about your field of study and kind of the connection between what you study and what H2 Ohio has been doing with agriculture?
Sure. Yeah, I have a background in wildlife and fishery science and also a background in hydrology, which is the study of water, and in agricultural drainage. So agricultural drainage is, if you think of like the plumbing that we have in our house, underneath farm fields in certain areas of our state, especially where it's very flat up by the lake. We have plumbing under the ground that helps drain water from the fields and move it to our streamways, so that the to enable farming practices in places where we have flood-prone soils. And it's been a long-term practice for a long time in our agricultural fields. It also enables us to develop those areas so people can live in those landscapes as well. So that's suits me, I guess, very well to being able to collaborate and provide some advisory technical assistance and some science to the H2 Ohio program and to the partners who are delivering the program to try to find the best solutions that science tell us work, but also are most practicable for farmers to implement.
Doug, what has H2 Ohio meant for wetlands restoration?
As you know, these wetlands are really important because they will get the water and hold it, and therefore the nutrients don't go. When the, especially Northwest Ohio, was essentially a big swamp when it was created. When the settlers first got here, they put tiles in and they made the water, get rid of the water, so then you could grow fields of, multiple number of crops. And those crops are on some of the best land in the country. And so Northwest Ohio has really been an agricultural breadbasket in many ways, but that comes at a price. And that's getting rid of those wetlands was that price. And so by putting these wetlands back in, one, we get the wildlife and the nature and the ability to use it for recreation, but we also stop those nitrates from going into areas they shouldn't be in, and particularly in Lake Erie.
They kind of filter all that out for us, huh?
They did for a long, 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 long time until about 180 years ago.
Okay. Well, we are talking about funding cuts to the H2 Ohio Water Quality Program. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. And Doug, a big question that I'm sure is on the minds of a lot of people, what does has H2 Ohio meant for the quality of our drinking water?
Well, 3 million people get drinking water from Lake Erie. And so by keeping Lake Erie cleaner, it makes that process of cleaning that water that much better. But we also know it's everywhere. There are algal blooms on in the Ohio River and Lake Grand Lake St. Mary's and throughout the state. So reducing those contaminants in all the surface water is important. And but it also goes to the lead pipe removal program we talked about. The Greater Cincinnati Water Works got money to replace some service lines, and it's a tremendous number. In fact, Ohio has more than any other state besides Illinois with lead water. And by replacing those, we have a known contaminant. We know what's causing these problems to these kids, and any level of lead is unacceptable. And we can clean that water up, and we know how to do it. We just need to do it. And then, and generally, we have also, it's because it's data driven, and a lot of the money early on, we're only in year six now of this program, and a lot of the money has gone to data and to mapping and to figuring out what problems we have. And so the more we understand of the problems that we have, the better we're going to be able to solve those problems, whether it's, early, these emerging contaminants like PFAS and things like that. So, they're all related. If you look at, Crawford County, it's on the line. Northern Crawford County goes to Lake Erie. The water on southern Crawford County goes to the Ohio River. And so what happens in those towns and in those farms and those industrial towns will affect what happens in Cincinnati. So this is a critical time as we understand the scope of the problem, and we're still looking and still understanding that scope to really then start solving that problem. But we already know that we've made the water a lot cleaner in Lake Erie, and we know we've made it a lot better in some of those projects, the 2.1 million acres that we talked about, and certainly with those lead pipes that we were able to get rid of.
Doug, I know the H2 Ohio program was cut overall by about 40%, the funding for the program, but that wasn't an across-the-board cut. Can you talk a bit about how those reductions applied to each of these areas we've been talking about, agriculture, wetlands restoration, and drinking water quality?
Yeah, it really it we still don't know exactly the impact, but they were cut generally in the 40% range. We know that whether it's the Department of Natural Resources or the Ohio EPA or the Ohio Department of Agriculture, each one had a big cut. And so we're still trying to figure out what those cuts will mean. We do know that farmers rely on predictability, and just like a business person. And with all the stresses happening now on trade and in the marketplace and the economy in general, these farmers are really in a pickle. And with these cuts at Ohio Department of Agriculture, even a little shave, and it was more than that, is really putting stresses on them to do these programs. Because they're operating at the margin and they want predictability. And when we go from funding high to low, or we're in a 2-year budget cycle in the state of Ohio, but some of these programs are 6, 7, 8 years, it's really hard to get a farmer to commit when their family well-being is on the line.
Jessica, is that what you're hearing from farmers, concerns about the uncertainty?
Yes, we do hear a lot of those concerns, and that comes from uncertainty in the weather that we've been having. That comes from uncertainty in the funding that we are able to access, both at the state and federal level, and the uncertainty in just the farming business itself across the globe. So there is a lot of stress. Doug was exactly right. The farmers are facing a lot of stress right now and a lot of uncertainty. And so, what that can lead to is it makes farmers a little more hesitant to try new things or to make a decision where they have a little bit more risk or a little bit uncertainty in the outcome. And trying a brand new conservation practice, for example, does have some risk to it, and there is a learning curve. And so, we have to enable the farmers enough time to be able to test out the new strategy and the new management and the time and be able to get comfortable with it so they can maintain the conservation practice over the long term.
Doug, let me ask you this. When House Speaker Matt Huffman was asked about these cuts after the state budget passed, he told reporters that a lot of the money that had been allocated previously for H2 Ohio hadn't been spent. Is that correct?
Well, I can't speak for the speaker, and I'm a long-term State House staffer in a previous life. But to Jessica's point earlier, a lot of these programs are long-term, and so we have a 2-year budget cycle, but we have an 8-year project. So you get into this: what is spent, what is not spent, what's allocated. The old line in D.C. where you have a budget, but then you have to appropriate the money. I am confident that the governor, given twice what he asked for, could come up with programs that he would want to spend. We know we have 650,000 lead pipe residents or lead service line houses in the state of Ohio, so we could spend the money pretty quickly if we had it.
Okay.
I don't know the budget intricacies. I could get that answer for you, but it's always a little iffy when you talk short-term budgeting with a long-term project.
Gotcha. So even if the money hadn't been spent, that doesn't mean there weren't plans for it, and that there were they just maybe hadn't worked its way into the pipeline yet.
Yeah, it's a lot like the Defense Department. It takes 10 years to build, an aircraft carrier, but they do a 1-year budget cycle. And so, that adds a lot of complications real quick. We're talking at a smaller scale in some ways, but it's the same concept.
Okay. Well, we will continue this conversation after a short break. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about state funding cuts to the water quality program, H2 Ohio. My guests are Ohio Environmental Council Action Fund Managing Director of Water Policy, Doug Babcock, and the Nature Conservancy Ohio Agriculture Project Director, Jessica D'Ambrosio. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Jessica, we've talked a lot about the different problems that H2 Ohio was designed to address. When it comes to agriculture, how much progress has the program been making on those problems?
The Program has signed up nearly in the Western Lake Erie Basin. The program has signed up nearly 1 in 2 acres into a conservation practice. So that's roughly about 50%, 45, 50% participation level as far as acreage goes. And that we haven't seen adoption levels like that. That's been unprecedented. So, and it really is a testament to the level of funding, the amount of funding, and the collaborative effort to put that funding out in a quick and streamlined way. And so to date, we estimate, we can't measure every farm field. We just don't have the funding to do that. But where we can measure it and where we can use models to help us determine our estimates, we know that there's been at least more than 400,000 pounds of phosphorus removed from the watershed as a direct result of H2 Ohio practices.
Wow. Doug, what will these funding cuts mean for these efforts? I know you said everyone's still trying to kind of piece the impact together and figure it out, but do you have any sense for whether some of these efforts can continue with less money and just move forward more slowly?
That's going to be really hard to grasp just yet. And I think a lot of the agencies at the state level are trying to figure that out. I know Jessica's organization's working with us trying to figure that out, because it's not an on-off switch. A lot of these programs are multi-year, and it's not like building a house. You build the house, you move on, you build another house. This is a long-term, sustainable practice. If you're dealing with erosion, erosion happens all the time, yearly. So we just don't know yet what each these cuts might mean short term. I do know on the lead pipes, there's going to be fewer lead pipes being removed. And the goal is Cincinnati to remove all of their lead service lines by 2037 just won't be met. And that's a real problem for a lot of the kids in those neighborhoods who are drinking that water. But I think we're hopeful we're going to find out at least some of the plans from the agency soon, so we can all work together and work with the agriculture community to figure this out.
Jessica, you talked about that level of adoption among farmers. Do you think farmers will or will be able to continue some of these practices without the state's help or with less help than they've been getting?
Well, I think that depends on many of them will, yes. And I think that depends on how we as partners around the state can coordinate and collaborate together to continue to provide support to farmers and support in many different ways. So helping with education and awareness, helping find additional sources of funding if that's needed, helping to address certain barriers to adopting these practices, and also making sure that there are people around, technical advisors and support people around to help farmers move through this conservation journey that they're on, regardless of the amount of funding that will be available to them. For example, the Nature Conservancy started a program focusing on peer mentorship for farmers. So we understand that science, social science tells us that farmers want to learn and learn best from each other. So we established a program with the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative funding to train farmers already doing conservation on how to talk to other farmers and talk about the work they're doing so they can continue to mentor farmers well into the future. And that could be a resource and a person that a farmer can call, and they're an expert. They've already been through the ups and downs, and they can reach out if they run into any problems. So we try to come together and support the funding programs as best we can with the technical assistance and the scientific information we can bring to the table.
Jessica, you just mentioned potentially other sources of funding. Are there other sources of funding that could be tapped into for this work that H2 Ohio's been funding?
At this level, this level, probably not as big, but there are multiple sources of funding at the federal state level and through grants. And it's important that we have kind of a nice portfolio of funding sources across the state, not just H2 Ohio, or that can complement H2 Ohio. So we could there are Natural Resources Conservation Service farm bill programs that producers can sign up for and enroll in. And there are grant-funded programs, like I mentioned, the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative and other state and federal level programs. And as those become change and become uncertain, Into the future, we kind of, that's why the portfolio of funding is really nice to have. So we can kind of maneuver around the funding sources. And as we understand the impacts of the adoption and implementation, and Doug mentioned a lot of data and analysis goes into this program, we can assess where we can direct funding into the future if it does become a little tighter, and where we can accelerate funding in the areas where we think we need a little more oomph, so to speak.
Yeah. Doug, are you concerned about the future for in terms of funding for H2 Ohio? I mean, we talked about earlier, this was really Governor DeWine's baby. When after his term ends, do you have concerns about what the future might hold?
I think anybody in living in 2025 understands the financial predicament that the federal and state government are in right now. These programs give our farmers a competitive advantage. If we're, we were, we've always been spending so much time reacting to a problem. And in 2019, Governor DeWine says, let's be proactive. Let's give Ohio farmers the tools they need so we're not just reacting to problems. We can actually help solve them before they occur. And so I think we're going to see the will at some point get to the point where we can fund these programs because they are so important. And the agriculture community wants them. And I think Ohio economically is better off to have them. I think the real question is, how do we go about that?
Doug, you just mentioned the financial constraints that state and federal, the state governments and the federal government face. What, I mean, worst case scenario, what would cutting additional cuts to H2 Ohio or even eliminating this program, what would that mean for Ohio long term when you think about, water quality?
I'm just a lawyer. Jessica's the expert here, but I think we know what's going to happen. We go to 2018 before we had these programs, and then you go to 2018 before we had these programs. We look at the algal bloom in 2014, where 3 million people get their drink, Ohioans get their drinking water from Lake Erie, and we had a massive algal bloom. And in 2018, we were in a lot different economic status as a state, as a country, as an economy than we are now. So I don't want to say I'm afraid. I'm concerned about what it might look like, but I think we will find the political will.
Jessica, what do you think? I know I'm asking you for kind of the gloom and doom scenario, but what do you think is the worst case scenario if this program were to go away?
Well, we have set a lot of goals. So one thing the Toledo water crisis showed us was, and like Doug said, we need to be proactive about managing our water quality and making sure that we have safe drinking water and that we have sustainable and regenerative agriculture in our state as the number one industry. So we've set a lot of goals in order to have a thriving infrastructure and protect biodiversity and reduce the risks of impacts of the flooding and the drought and water pollution to all residents of our state. And so I worry that, we want to have a thriving agricultural economy. We want to have a thriving manufacturing and business economy. We want to have a thriving recreational economy that helps support all of us. And so, worst case, well, maybe best case is we just slow everything down, and we work to support producers and find ways that we can bring funding to the table and maintain our coalitions and our collaboration. Worst case is we may just have to stop where we are. And hope that our water quality is doesn't get worse over time.
Where do you find hope, Jessica?
Well, I believe we can do it. So we can have all of these things together. It's not an or, it's an and. And so if I didn't believe that, I probably wouldn't be able to do my job every day. And so it's just finding the places where we can all agree. We know that we've done some recent polling at the Nature Conservancy last year, and we know that more than 80% of Ohio residents, regardless of political spectrum, support projects and support clean water, support nature that is based on clean water, and support agriculture, supporting our farmers to help them filter and reduce runoff from their farms. So we know that people care about water quality. It's important to our residents. And like Doug said, where there's a will, we'll find a way. And I think there's a will.
Okay. And it sounds like the progress you've made so far, that must give you some hope too. Okay, well, this has been great. I've been talking with Ohio Environmental Council Action Fund Managing Director of Water Policy, Doug Babcock, and the Nature Conservancy Ohio Agriculture Project Director, Jessica D'Ambrosio. Thank you both so much for your time today. I really appreciate your insights.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed the conversation today.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director today is Stephen Baum. If you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening, and please tune in tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. for our live politics edition. We look forward to talking about the mayor's race, city council, and the impact of development. Thanks so much.